Our next speaker is Neva. She's a member of three 12-step fellowships. OA turned out to be the last house on the block, yet compulsive eating and compulsive eating behaviors were likely the first symptoms of the disease. 27 years in the rooms of OA, about 10 years maintaining a healthy body weight, having let go of more than 50 pounds from what she weighed when she first came into these rooms. Eventually being able to say that she has used every tool and suggestion offered, and then some. Help me welcome Neva.
Thank you. I'm Neva, I'm a compulsive eater. Yeah, and as Joy said, I got here through a long circuitous route, but this is where I belonged all along. Although I still am an active member in the other two fellowships because I have multiple addictions. When I first came into OA, all I knew was that I had had a conversation about 3 months before with a friend that I was doing volunteer work with, and discovering that we were both speaking the same language, we stopped and asked each other what our program was, and hers was OA. I had not heard of OA before that time. I was a lifelong yo-yo dieter. And it was always a matter of losing whatever I lost and then going off the diet and gaining that and a little bit more. And so the scale was constantly edging upward as I went along. And when I came to these rooms, I wasn't really sure what the solution to my problem was going to be. But I listened, and there was one particular food that had become my drug of choice. And when I eliminated that, I started to lose a few pounds, and I found a sponsor, and I started working the steps, and that was the beginning of my journey. A few months later, I heard a gentleman get up and say something that he had said every single week that I had been going to that meeting, that first meeting. And that was, his name was Bill, and he was a compulsive overeater, and he was staying in recovery by eating three meals a day and living life in between. And that was a revelation that day when I finally heard it. You know, I had heard it. He had said it every week. I finally heard it. And because I realized that one of my other eating behaviors was grazing. I would start with breakfast in the morning, and sometimes I would successfully put food down for 2 or 3 hours while I did other things that were necessary in my life. And then I come back to lunch, and I would just be grazing from the beginning of lunch until bedtime. And that was just the way that it was for me. And I honestly, as somebody mentioned earlier, something about, you know, needing to mourn the foods that I can't have anymore, but actually being afraid at first when I was separating meals that I might actually starve between one meal and the next. You know, there was just that scared little kid in me that just didn't believe I was going to make it. And, you know, but I started practicing that, and I started, you know, and at first it was three binges a day. It really literally was three binges a day at first. And gradually, I started to figure out what other trigger foods I had. About 10 years ago, just staying on the food for a moment, but about 10 years ago, I surrendered to the suggestion that had been made to me probably at least a dozen times by my sponsor at the time, that I might want to go see a professional and get a food plan for myself, you know, that would get me to my healthy body weight. Because while each change I made took a few more pounds off, I had not at that point reached what I considered to be a healthy body weight. And the nutritionist considered it a healthy weight too. And so about 10 years ago, I went on a new food plan, and I've let go of trigger foods since then. And I know the anxiety of wondering what I'm going to eat, but I eat a lot of food these days for my meals. and I stay in a healthy weight range. And I don't weigh myself anymore because I was addicted to the scale. I always weighed myself anywhere from 3 to 5 times a day, I think, on average. And all it did, all the numbers ever did was drive me insane. So I stopped weighing myself. And I have to say, during this last year, I think it's been a blessing because I have to depend on how my clothes feel. I can't trust how I look to myself in the mirror. Some days I look okay. Other days I look like I've gained 20 pounds overnight. And, you know, so I can't trust how I look to me, but I pretty much trust how my clothes feel on me. So I feel like I've stayed healthy and done pretty well this past year. But going back to the title of the workshop, Elementary, My Dear, I was doing some meditating on that title and wondering, you know, what exactly does it mean? I mean, we all know we have the steps and we have the tools and we have, we have our slogans and so forth. But what did it really mean to me? And then something came to my mind, a phrase came to my mind, spiritual kindergarten. And then that reminded me that, yes, this is March and a lot of my meetings are studying step 3 this month. And that's made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to a power greater than ourselves, or God as we understood him. But anyway, so I started looking around in the literature to see where that term spiritual kindergarten came from. And I found it in an AA book that's part of OA approved literature. It's called As Bill Sees It. And it's on page 95. And I'm going to read a little bit of it here. We are only operating a spiritual kindergarten in which people are enabled to get over drinking and find the grace to go on living to better effect. Each man's theology has to be his own quest, his own affair. And when I was reading and thinking about that, I thought, you know, that's really the basic, the nugget of the program, is that we have to get a power greater than ourselves who can restore us to sanity. The food plan is really basic, and we all need a food plan, and you know, we all need to find abstinence, because abstinence clears our minds and starts to heal our bodies. But then we have to find a power greater than ourselves, because that's where our true sanity and our true usefulness comes into play. And that was also, like my food plan, that was a process for me. I had grown up in an organized religion, and I had fully participated in that church up into my 20s. And then some things happened in my life that don't happen to everybody. And I found that that church and that God did not have these answers for me. And this was, you know, sometime before recovery, I went off searching for the answer. I didn't stick with something that wasn't working for me. I went off searching for the answer. But it was hard to find it because I was still eating and at the time drinking, which, you know, that was one of my other illnesses. Anyway, so I was using substances to escape from my feelings, and losing that clarity of mind, I was not able to find the higher power that was there with me all along. And so by the time I came into OA, I had already recovered from my other illness, and I was still using the food, but willing to start on that path of letting that go. And I was starting to have a relationship with a higher power. But it took time, both getting the clarity from the excess food, getting that clarity back, and then really discovering what kind of a higher power would work for me, that would give me a positive basis for living my life in spite of whatever life was throwing at me. So I continued taking the suggestions of my sponsor. I worked the steps with my sponsor. I worked the traditions with my sponsor. And then I went through some more tough things in my life. Part of my story is that both of my children were born with brain cancer. One of them passed away about 5 years before I got sober, and the other one passed away about 3 years after I came into OA. The difference between those two experiences, losing a child while I was still in the throes of my disease and losing a child after I had found some recovery, just totally, totally different experiences. Definitely not fun either way, but definitely I felt that I was grateful that I had recovery the second time around. And I had community. I felt totally alone before I came into these rooms. I never felt a part of. I thought I was to blame for everything. So I had ego issues. So moving forward, I had worked the steps and worked the traditions. And then after the death of my daughter, my husband and I decided to make a move, because I got sober and abstinent in Northern California, and we decided to retire to Southern Arizona. So I came down here. I had already been getting into service beyond the group level when I got here. And so I started in almost right away when after finding my regular meetings here in Tucson, I also started finding my way to intergroup. And then I started to get into service beyond the intergroup level as well, when I became a region rep and delegate. And the result is that, what happens for me in my recovery is that I have a disease of more. Well, it applies in my recovery. I still have the disease of more. So anyway, I just keep moving forward in my recovery. There's always something more to learn, and there's always, there's always something more to be done. And I have a bad habit sometimes of seeing a need and stepping in to fill it because nobody else is volunteering. So as a result of that, I have ended up being the Region 3 trustee for Overeaters Anonymous for the past 3 years. And I am about to go to World Service and apply to another 3-year term. I don't know how that's going to work out, but it seems to be the way my higher power has set the situation up. So I'm going forward with that one day at a time. I can only say there must be more for me to learn, because if I had my choice, I'd be going off and doing other adventures right now. But I also enjoy being of service and learning what OA, how OA is structured, and how I can be of service to OA members. So I'm doing that. How much time do I have left, Joy?
You have a couple minutes.
A couple minutes. Okay. Yeah. So I just wanted to sort of keep it, you know, for me that the elementary part is this development of a relationship with a power greater than myself. Today, I have a daily practice. I get up early in the morning. And I sit down at my dining table, and I have a composition notebook that I write in, and I have at least three pieces of recovery literature. They're from a variety, from all of my programs. I rotate through them, sometimes on a yearly basis, sometimes quicker than that. I am currently working the concepts of service with a sponsor in one of my other programs. And so that's part of my writing in the morning, but also in my journaling, I write out my food plan at the beginning of the day. My food is pretty boring these days. I eat the exact same breakfast every day. And often my lunch is my main meal these days. Because I get up early, I eat my lunch a little bit early. That's my main meal. And my dinner is what used to be a snack for me. So life goes on in recovery. And a lot of those changes just sort of came about naturally for me. I just listen to what my body needs, listen to what my higher power needs, and move forward through my day. I also have a plan of action that I write out every day. It gives me a little bit of structure. I don't always do everything that's on my plan of action. Sometimes I'm very ambitious with what I think I can get done in a day, and my higher power sees a different path for me, and I go with the flow. But by writing out what I hope to get done during the day, at least I have something to refer to if I start feeling lost and can't figure out what to do next. And I talk to my higher power off and on all day long. So I do my journaling in the morning, and then I email my journaling to three sponsors. And sometimes I get feedback from one or more of them, and other times I don't. But I see it as a way of me reaching out and letting them know me on a more intimate basis. And when I do get feedback from one or more of them, it's usually something really useful that I can take with me into the day. So it's a blessing. And I do sponsor. Right now, I was thinking about that. I have most of the sponsees that I have now. I've had for quite some time. I haven't gotten a new sponsee that has stayed with me very long lately, and I'm thinking maybe it's that I just don't have time for somebody brand new right now. But it's something that I stay open to, you know, when the spirit prompts me, I will step up to that. So anyway, I think that's all I need to ramble about today. Thank you.